Halloween weekend is fast approaching in Savannah, and that means Georgia-Florida football, trick-or-treating, and Savannah Pride. The annual festival celebrating the past, present, and future of Savannah's queer community opens Thursday and runs through Sunday, with parades on Friday night and Saturday morning. The First City Pride Center's Dusty Church joins the commute to discuss the festival and its significance. Good day, Savannah, from all of us here at SavannahNow.com. This is the Commute Podcast, presented by National Office Systems. I am your host, Adam Van Brimmer, opinion columnist and a deputy editor at the Savannah Morning News. Today is Wednesday, October the 26th, and yes, we are coming to you a day later than normal. Tuesday was packed with Hyundai plant groundbreaking and related festivities, and we'll get to that topic in the Thursday commute. But on this episode, we talk about one of Savannah's fastest growing festivals, Savannah Pride. Organizer Dusty Church joins me in just a moment. But first, a plug for National Office Systems, the commute's presenting sponsor. Here at the Savannah Morning News, we're planning an office move in the coming months, and we know whom to call once we settle in on an address. Scott Center and his team at National Office Systems. They've been helping Savannah businesses with their office needs since the 1980s. National Office Systems offers more than 200 product lines, including a new collaboration from two of the office furniture industry's leaders, Herman Miller and Knoll, also known as Miller Knoll. If your office space needs a refresh, National Office Systems can help. Learn more by visiting www.natoffsys.com. That's www.natoffsys.com. Now, here's the conversation with Dusty Church. Joined on the commute now by Dusty Church, who is the chair of the board at the First City Pride Center, which is, we're in the midst of a pretty big week for them. Starting on Thursday, the 27th, we have the annual Savannah Pride Festival, which dates back quite a few years, but has taken a couple of years off for obvious reasons with COVID-19. But they are coming back this year with 3 days of, I looked at the schedule, it's pretty packed, and it starts at Starling Yard and moves downtown to, well, not even 3 days, 3.5 days, right? Because you have a Sunday event too. So a day at Starling Yard, 2 days at Ellis Square, a parade Friday night. This is a very exciting event and has grown tremendously. As you get ready to put one on again for the first time in, do my math here, 3 or 4 years, how much anticipation is there for the event?
Well, you know, there's a lot of anticipation for us who are putting it on. I think you get a little blinders and are so focused on putting it together. You just hope everybody shows up at the end. You know, in 2019, we had probably 30,000 people or so. Wow. Pass through the event. I think police estimates for the parade in Ellis Square was somewhere between 5,000 and 8,000 people just on the square during the parade. So it's a very well-received, popular event. And we know it's been a couple of years off, and we just hope everyone is as excited as we are to bring it back.
Are you getting the indication of that? I'm sure you have some RSVP and some other things with the events.
I think so. I mean, we're anticipating it to be a very strong event. You just, you know, it's always scary when you take some time away from something that was really popular. So we're excited to get it, to have it come back. And certainly we've been hearing a lot from the community that folks are excited to have it back.
As you've watched this build up over the years, what do you attribute that to? Is it just a great event? Is it maybe people are a little bit more accepting than as time has gone on? What are some of the main points you think that have contributed to the growth?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of things. Honestly, the reality was 20 plus years ago when the community didn't feel safe. They were holding these in private spaces, avoiding public input and visibility. And as the communities felt more and more comfortable being public, the event grew over a couple of decades. And then I think what we saw really starting in 2016 with the election, and what we've seen politically over the last few years in terms of threats to our community, that folks are not willing to roll back the clock here. And there's been an increased sense of urgency for the community to engage, to be present in these. Pride is a great party, but it's also it's activism. It is about, making ourselves known. It's about declaring ourselves as part of this community and a valuable part of this community. And it's about celebrating who we are and our culture. And so I think that folks have started to feel a much more intense need to embrace that when faced with the political threats.
Right. And you talked about that within the queer community. The straight community also has come around to a certain extent as well. Can you talk about kind of the support that you're seeing broadly?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Savannah is a wonderfully supportive community. It's a remarkably queer city, not just because of the number of queer folks in the city, but because of just how wonderfully supportive overall the community is. And that does include a lot of straight allies. As an organization, we are incredibly fortunate to have sponsors and volunteers from the straight community that get involved and are eager to see our community be supported and protected and feel safe. And we're just immensely proud of that. The reality is that any marginalized group, we rely on allies, all of us, regardless of what that group represents. And we're all in need of folks who decide that the right thing to do is to support kindness and acceptance and go out of their way to embrace that and support marginalized communities. And that's certainly been the case for us. And Savannah has every year come out more and more to show their support. And we're just incredibly fortunate for that.
I want to stay on that thread for a minute. We'll come back to the fun of the festival here in a few minutes. But we're in election year. We are in the midst of culture wars. How important is it for the queer community to have events like this? You mentioned activism, advocacy, awareness, whether it's books in school or transgender, it's just everything seems to be political and highly charged. It's quite frankly a disturbing trend to me, and probably not quite as disturbing as it is to you, but very disturbing to me that this has become just so central to the divisiveness in this country. How can events like this maybe kind of depoliticize it a little bit and show people that maybe it doesn't need to be, an us against them divisiveness issue?
Yeah, well, and we're certainly not alone as the queer community. The reality is that we're seeing stunning anti-Semitism on display in politics currently. We're seeing just a remarkable pushback against even the acknowledgement of Black history. And of course, we've seen a really dramatic pushback against the acknowledgement of the queer community, attacks on trans kids in school. It's heartbreaking to watch, honestly. It's really hard to know that there's some kid who's done nothing wrong, that is just trying to express who they are, and that adults would manipulate that for political gain and hurt that child because they think it will help them politically is just unconscionable to me. And so events like this really are critical because they do more than just advocate for grownups. We have one of the things that we always do is have a paw raid on Saturday morning. We go out of our way to make sure that we have events that allow families and youth to participate because we know how important it is for young people to be able to find community, for queer parents to be able to bring their kids to a space where they're not different, and for young people to be able to see that life is better as you get older, that you will be okay, that there are adults who love you and who support you and who are going to do everything they can to defend you is critical. And, I say all the time that everybody deserves to know they're loved. And with kids, it's incredibly important. And so that is as much as anything, why we do these events, why we have a pride, is to show, we want them to see healthy couples and healthy families, and we want them to see people who tell them that they are loved. And so pride really has an important place in the humanity of our community and reinforcing that.
Before Dusty and I break down the schedule for Savannah Pride, a break in the program to encourage you to subscribe to the Savannah Town Square Opinion Newsletter. Every week, subscribers to the newsletter get a sneak peek at an opinion commentary, get to weigh in on a Vox Populi topic, get caught up on our latest podcast topics and guests, and get access to a collection of our latest opinion works. All of that delivered to your email inbox. Go to savannahnow.com/newsletters and sign up. And you don't have to subscribe to the Savannah Morning News or savannahnow.com to get the newsletter, so there are no excuses. Now, back to the discussion with Dusty Church. I know just from looking at the schedule for the festival, but beyond that, I know what the First City Pride Center does as well. There's a lot of mental health and behavioral health services that are available to folks. Not to put too fine a point on it, but have you seen an uptick in that? Obviously, it could be a lot of things. It could be the politics. It could be COVID. It could be a lot of things. But are you seeing an uptick? And do you feel like you have your finger as best you can on how to address and help folks who maybe are struggling with that?
Yeah, I think we have a pretty good idea of how we need to address it. Resources is another thing. Certainly for us, we have our mental behavioral health clinic, Prism Clinic, is open 40 hours a week. We service clients from over a dozen surrounding counties, and we have a long wait list. It is extraordinary, the need, and unyielding. Every single day, we get calls from parents, we get calls from kids, we get calls from individuals who are trying to figure out how they can even find medical care because their doctor says, I don't support who you are, I will not treat you. Mm. And so we are constantly working to build our programs, build our the resources to meet that need. We do have lots of support groups even beyond our mental and behavioral health services, include addiction counseling, transgender support groups, family support groups, veteran support groups, youth groups, all sorts of programs. And of course, some folks don't want to participate in a support group. They're looking to find community because that's the type of support they need. And for that, we've got crafting groups, we've got book clubs, we've got movie nights, we've got all kinds of things that we do to make sure that people, whether they're looking to work directly with a therapist, looking for a support group, or looking for a community where they can engage in hobbies together to build a social network, that there's resources available to them. And really, it's just for us about trying to meet the amount of need. But I think we understand well at this point what that need is.
That's good. So let's talk a little bit more about the festival. I know that the down on Ellis Square, it's almost like a carnival, right? You got a lot of games and fun. And talk a little bit about what goes on at the square and what the parade is all about.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, Halloween is the queer high holy day. This goes back a century, really, back to parties in Harlem during the Harlem Renaissance. It is something that was a key feature of the Castro during the queer liberation movement. This is an opportunity for the community to be able to embrace a dream, right? It's the only day of the year that gender norms sort of go out the window. And whether you're a straight bro who wants to wear a wig and fake boobs, you can get away with it and nobody cares. And so it's a very comfortable space, a remarkably comfortable space for our community. And that's been part of this, is the ability to dress up and not have the same level of fear. And so it's become such a critical part of our community's culture to celebrate Halloween that now throughout the country, really any gay borough, the biggest or the biggest Halloween celebration happens there, whether it's in New York or Chicago or LA. The big Halloween celebrations are in the gay borough. So there was a natural drive for us to, in America's most haunted city, to declare pride on Halloween. And so that's the link there and how we got to where we are with celebrating this weekend. And so, you know, we start with a little tongue-in-cheek nod to Savannah's masquerade balls. And so we have a masquerade that is on Thursday night. And that is, yes, a masquerade ball, but it is a nod to the drag ball culture and the queer ball culture that really came out of inner cities and was led, was a critical part of leading queer Black activism in our community. And so we have folks from Pose, which is the FX series. Jason Rodriguez, who's one of the stars of that show, will be down leading the voguing competition. And then we'll also work with youth over the weekend to teach them about the history of the ball community and to give them some tutorials on voguing. And then on Friday, we've got the festival that opens at 5 and the nighttime Halloween Pride Parade. So folks are encouraged to come out. They're encouraged to dress up. You can walk in the parade with us if you'd like. We want this to be a celebration of our community, and not just a parade of floats. We want folks to be as participatory as they would like to be. And so we're excited to have that. That's at 8 PM. It runs down River Street and then up to down Congress Street into Ellis Square. And then on Saturday, the festival opens up with, our paw parade. So we do a pride paw parade, which is a doggy costume parade for those who maybe don't want to stay up late on Friday night or are looking for something that is family friendly and really going to be a great place for kids to have a great time. That's a wonderful event to participate in. There'll be lots of little fur babies dressed up in adorable costumes at that. And that starts at 11 a.m. Festival opens at noon. It'll run all day. We've got VIP lounge. We've got drag shows. We've got all kinds of aerial acrobats and stilt walkers and flame jugglers and sword swallowers and, you know, whatever. It really is. It's a carnival, and it is intended to push the boundaries of what people consider the norm. You know, that's what we want, is for folks to think beyond just their day-to-day life and to see a really broad community that is very unique and very creative.
Right. Wow. And then on Sunday, it's a drag brunch at Congress Street Social Club, right?
Congress Street Social Club is hosting another drag brunch. We did this actually last year. That was our only foray into in-person events last year, was to host a drag brunch, and it was incredibly well received. And we are very proud to have Congress Street Social back as another of our straight ally supporting partners. They are a wonderfully inclusive space that's been embracing our community for a number of years now, and they will be hosting the drag brunch on Sunday.
Right. Wow. Sounds like a very busy weekend. I see why you're like, oh gosh, it's almost here. But
I'll be asleep at like 5 o'clock on Sunday.
That's exactly right. But always good to talk to you. Best of luck with the with all the festivities this weekend, not just the parade and everything else. And thank you for all you do.
Well, thank you, Adam. I really appreciate you having me on.
That's all for this edition of the Commute Podcast. Thanks one last time to our presenting sponsor, National Office Systems. Before I sign off, remember that we publish new Commute episodes every Tuesday and Thursday. Whatever your interests, you will find interviews of interest in our archives. Search The Commute with that Savannah Opinion on your favorite podcast app. The Commute returns Thursday with Hyundai Talk and Ghost Pirates Hockey Talk. We'll see you then.